That is a duet. Praise God. Good when people tune up together in such a manner. Praise the Lord. Let's turn this afternoon for just a little while to Psalm 119, a very familiar psalm, a very long psalm. Psalm 119. And we will go down to verse 103. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And I've entitled this message, Which Way? If you will picture for just a moment, coming up to and being in a strange place, a strange area, come up to a stop sign, and there would be at least four ways to go. There's three, one on each side and one in front of you, and then the way from which you have come. And so you are looking for something special but don't know exactly where it is. And so I want to speak a little bit about finding that path, because we can't just sit there and do nothing. Sometimes people do. I heard about this one woman that pulled up to a stop sign, or a yield sign rather, and the guy behind her sat there for a while, and he stuck his head out the window and he said, "Lady, the sign says yield, not give up." But that seems to be what she was doing. At any rate, there are times in our lives we come to a place where we just don't know which way to go, which way to turn. There are certain things we know that God intends for us. We're looking for certain places, but indeed, we cannot see them at that time. If you'll turn to the 23rd chapter of Job, this man had exactly that same experience. Sure, we can identify with him. He really mentions all four directions here and just didn't know exactly what he was doing, and yet we find that he did come to a great conclusion. And we find we can really come to exactly that same conclusion, and indeed must. Job 23, and go down to verse 8. Behold, I go forward. He's not there. Backward. I can't perceive him. Verse 9, on the left hand, where he doth work, I can't behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. Job has a real dilemma here. He looks ahead, he can't see the workings of God there. He looks back from whence he's come, and he certainly hadn't witnessed anything in his life that he really understands or can put any trust or confidence in. Then he looks on the left hand. Job is not a novice in spiritual things. He knows that God works in mysterious and wonderful ways. When we speak on the left hand, we're talking about the way of weakness. And Job understood somewhat of that way of weakness, but when he looked there, trying to find out what he was going to fulfill him at this particular time, on the left hand, that is on the way of weakness, where he doth work, he knows he does work that way because he had already worked in his life in such a manner, but he said, I can't find him. I can't see the efforts. I can't see evidence of God's working even through the weakness. Then he hides himself on the right hand. That the right hand is the way of power. And Job cannot see any power demonstrated in his life at this particular time. And so he says, I cannot see him. But then we come to verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And here is, of course, God's way. And I have enjoyed this particular portion for quite a number of years. He knows the way that I take. The reason he knows the way I take is because he chose it for me. And so this is the way we are looking for, is the way that God would choose. Job also knew that this particular way carried a glorious and wonderful benefit. It is this: when he has tried me. So this is a way of trial. God's way, God's choice for Job at this particular time was indeed a way of trial. And it was a deep trial. If you go through the book of Job, you'll find he suffered greatly, not only from the trial and difficulty, but he suffered greatly at the hands of other people. And that happens in our lives too. But God intends that even those things should work together to bring out, as we find here, the gold in our lives. That is the divinity, the life of Christ in our experience. So when he hath tried me, that's when I shall come forth as gold. And so as we find, he knows the way I take, the reason being he chose that way for me. Now we can walk in the way that he chose, or we cannot, one of the two. But Job chose to walk in that way, and it certainly is a profit, will be profitable for us to do exactly the same thing. I want to know now, or to examine a little bit now, some ways of warning. There are God's ways, and the way, as we've noted, is that he chose for me specifically, and all of these wonderful benefits, reasons he chose, the benefits as a result of walking that way. Turn to the 5th chapter of Proverbs, because we are warned that there are ways that we do not want to go. We must stay away from them, must avoid them at all cost, or there is going to be great consequence to us also. And so in the 5th chapter of Proverbs, Solomon is speaking to his son. Now, we have marveled at this over the years, because Solomon gives some great advice to his young son, but Solomon did not always follow that advice by any stretch of the imagination. So he could pass it out. He had the wisdom there. God sovereignly gave him that glorious wisdom, and he wrote it down and he passed it on to others. But the sad part is he didn't always follow it himself. And so here in Proverbs 5, he is addressing his own son. My son, attend unto my wisdom. This is verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding. These are things that Solomon knew, all right, because God had shown to him. Again, he didn't always walk in this, but he knew that this was right. It was proper. It was indeed the word of the Lord. We have heard much of that today. Hear the word of the Lord. There's from the first chapter of Isaiah. And so, bow down thine ear to my understanding. Verse 2 is the reason, that thou mayest regard discretion. You can make good decisions if you listen to what I say, if you follow what I say, if you heed the wisdom that I am imparting to you, so that you may regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And then he tells us, this is the warning, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. We have seen already that strange woman is Catholicism. That is the Catholic Church. She does everything she can to imitate truth, but she never, and of course she claims to be, and she would have everyone believe that she is the Bride of Christ, but she is not. She is the strange woman. And you will notice the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. And that the same as we find in Psalm 119, that your words are sweet to my taste. She is the great imitator, trying to get others to follow after her, and indeed she is a deceiver. So her lips drop as an honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou should ponder the path of life. And that means, lest you should ponder the path of life through this woman, Solomon, you need to beware. You need to understand that there is something about this woman that you want to stay away from, you must stay away from. As we see here, lest thou ponder the path of life, lest you figure to obtain life through this woman, you need to ponder this. You can underline it, her ways are movable. And that's absolutely right. Her ways are movable. She will do anything she can, anything she needs to do in order to deceive and to get her way, in order to persuade others to follow her and to walk in her steps. And so her ways are movable. And he says very emphatically that you cannot know them. And that's absolutely true. And so it is today. We must beware of the steps, of the immovable ways of this strange woman who is out to deceive, who is out to destroy, who is the one who will bring God's people down, if at all possible. And so important that we come to this place, that we are very much aware of what Catholicism is doing. As I said, noted this morning, when the world, and I'm talking about the world as a whole, because there is no other religious entity around the entire world that has the influence of Catholicism. None of them do. This is her, and she is the one who boasts that she can trace her lineage all the way back to the early apostles, back to the day of Pentecost. She is exactly right. But if you take into account the things that are said against the one who went through the dark ages with all of the martyrdom that went on in the name of the church, there's only one that can claim that responsibility, because by her own admission, she was the only one there. And so she is responsible for the tremendous destruction, especially in the Dark Ages, but times even closer to Jesus, and then even down to our day. She is responsible for great destruction of the people of God if they indeed listen to her, if they are deceived by her. And so she must own up to that, and God, of course, is going to hold her accountable. As we have noted, that you'll find that story there in Revelation 17 and 18, when Catholicism is indeed judged. Let us end this message and go back to Psalm 119. Here is where we must claim these benefits in order to stay away from every other way that is not the way of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 105, once again, thy word. There is no substitute for anyone today, no substitute for the word of God. It is something we must absolutely lay hold on and claim, not just to memorize scripture, but I'm talking about living our lives, letting the word of God control our lives, just embracing this message, which of course is Christ himself. And so as we read here, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. This would tell us of the immediate short term. This is where you look down at your feet, where they are right now. No matter where you're talking about your experience, you look down at your feet, here's where we are. Well, at this particular time, don't take another step until the Word of God lightens that path. And so your word is a lamp unto my feet. And this is the one that where we should be looking at our feet, at our walk, at this immediate and direct time in our experience. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and then a light unto my path. The light here seems to indicate a greater light, not just a small lamp, but a greater light that is shining. And this is the one where that we realize we are talking about a long-term direction. Gives me the path that I'm going to take, and that being a longer path than where I am right now. And so this light of the Word of God will light that entire path, enable to see afar off, so to speak, of the stumbling blocks and the things that are there that need to be avoided, watched out for, all these various obstacles. It is still the Word of God that does exactly that. And so even as we had in the message this morning there from Isaiah, the first chapter, I think we read it more than one time in various ways, hear the word of the Lord. This is our only option. This is our great option. In these perilous times in which we live, we absolutely must cling to the Word of God and go by the direction that God gives to us at this time. And so to claim these benefits that he's talking about, as we read here, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we absolutely must claim the Word of God itself in order to get that. And so it is, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That is the answer in order to get the path, in order to get the direction, and then come to the end where God intends for us to be. All right, those are my few thoughts this afternoon. Shall we sing?